You're listening to The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel.
So we can't save ourselves. God's grace has given it to us as a gift. You don't have to work for it or earn it or buy it or deserve. You don't have to do that for God's salvation. Jesus paid for it in full at Calvary. He declared on the cross, "It is finished." Say those three words with me. It is finished. Our salvation, He paid for it completely. As we cling to the simple
truth. If your mom or dad were to give you a gift from their heart, would you freely receive it? Or would you try to give them money for it? God has given you the free gift of salvation because of His grace. The moment you try to earn your salvation, it's no longer receiving by God's grace through faith. As Pastor Dion continues teaching his series through Galatians, he'll be challenging you to stop trying to earn God's favor and to believe that you already have it because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Now here's Pastor Dion in Galatians chapter 3 with part 1 of today's message.
The Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia to clear up any misunderstandings about salvation. The first thing he covered in the book is we all need it. We all need salvation. I mean, we are degenerate and depraved. We found out that we're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. And we're sinners by practice. We're born with original sin. And then we, in turn, choose sin of our own volition at a certain point, a certain age. And then we practice it. So we are depraved and degenerate by nature. And here's the next thing we learned about salvation. We can't save ourselves. We are helpless and hopelessly inept to save ourselves. I mean, saving ourselves, trying to do it is like hurting flies, nailing jello to a wall, or trying to put socks on a rooster. It's impossible. We can't do it. Look at your neighbor and say, "You can't do it." We can't save ourselves. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. We found that out. We can't save ourselves. That is a gift from God. Here's the verse, Ephesians chapter 2. We've quoted it quite often, but let's do it again. Read it with me. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is," everybody, "the gift of God." There it is. So we can't save ourselves. God's grace has given it to us as a gift. You don't have to work for it or earn it or buy it or deserve. You don't have to do that for God's salvation. Jesus paid for it in full at Calvary. He declared on the cross, "It is finished." Say those three words with me. It is finished. Our salvation, He paid for it completely. It is paid in full, a done deal. All we have to do for salvation is believe, is have faith, exactly like Abraham did. And that's what Paul explained, chapter 3, verse 9. Let's read it. Here's what he said. "So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by," and everybody say the word, "faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And we'll stop right there. So the idea is that Abraham had faith, and he received a blessing, or also known as salvation. Everybody say that is what? Salvation. He received salvation. He received a package of stuff from God just by believing. One thing he received was a miracle. His wife had a baby when she's 90 years old, a promised child. That was one thing he received, but he also received a relationship with God simply by believing and having faith. The scripture says that Abraham was then counted as a friend of God. God called him his friend. Another thing Abraham received as part of this blessing or salvation was righteousness. His faith was counted to him for righteousness, right standing with God. Not just relationship, but right standing with God. Well, guys, when we believe, what Paul is saying here is that when we believe by faith in Jesus and we receive salvation, that's what we get. We get salvation. Look at your neighbor and say, salvation. So here's the next thing we found out about salvation. It's a package deal. Say it out loud. It's a what? It's a package deal. The salvation, just like Abraham came with a package of blessings, our salvation comes with a package. It has a variety of gifts involved in it. And we found out last week, guys, that salvation includes, here's the first one. Everybody say it out loud. What is it? Forgiveness. That's the first thing in the package that we get. This package of salvation that's by faith, the first thing we get is forgiveness. That God cleans our slate. That he erased our sin. That he removes our sin from us. And you should shout amen right there. Right? That's the first thing we get. Forgiveness. He erases all of our past sin. In fact, here's what it says. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Read it with me. God forgave all your sins. He blotted out the charges proved against you and the list of commandments which you had not obeyed. He took the list of sins and destroyed it by nailing it to the cross of Christ. Isn't that awesome, guys? So that's what he did. He gives us forgiveness. That rap sheet that was against you, here's what he did, guys. He erased it. He expunged it. And he nailed it to Christ's cross. I love it. Isaiah 43 says this about what God does with our sin. I alone am he who blots away your sins for my own sake. And read this part with me. And will never remember them again. Isn't that awesome? When it comes to your sins, you remember, you and I remember, right? Your family and friends sitting next to you, they remember. Your high school buddies, they never forget. Remember, they tell you, remember when? But God, everybody say, but God. But God has a selective memory, and he has chosen to forget our sins. So when you crawl to God in prayer saying, oh God, you remember when? He says, no, I have no recollection. It is completely expunged. It is out of the way. Our salvation includes that forgiveness. But it not only includes a not guilty verdict. It not only includes, our salvation is more than just acquittal. More than our record is expunged. Guys, our salvation also includes, here's the word, everybody say it out loud, regeneration. So here's the first thing, the gift of salvation we got was forgiveness. It's part of it. Sins erased, removed, expunged. But here's the next thing we get in this package of salvation is regeneration. Look at verse 26. Jump down to verse 26 from where we're at and there in Galatians. And here's what it says. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Regeneration. Let me tell you what regeneration is, guys. Regeneration is a new nature that is born of God. That's what takes place when we get saved. Not just are our sins forgiven, but we get a new nature that is born, everybody said this, what? Born of God. Paul used baptism as a metaphor, kind of being reborn. But Jesus described the new nature in salvation as being born again. We know that term, and that's how Jesus described it. Having a new nature of God is being born again. See, we are born once physically with the nature of sin. Depravity is in our DNA. In fact, look at your neighbor and say, you filthy animal. Just look at him and tell him, you filthy. That's who we are. Our DNA is corrupt. We are born in sin and with depravity. We are born in darkness. We were born once that way, naturally. We were born in darkness, ignorant of spiritual truth. We considered spiritual truth foolishness. We couldn't understand or comprehend why we needed to be saved. Why do we need God? Why is the cross of Calvary so important? As physical people, natural people, we couldn't understand nor comprehend the spiritual gravity of our spiritual condition or bankruptcy. We couldn't grab a hold of that. That's why Jesus said we must be born again so that we can see and understand the kingdom of God. We need to be born again because when the Spirit is born within us, when we believe and trust Jesus as our Savior, there is a new birth that emerges on the inside. A new spiritual life has been born of God. Everybody cheer right there and just say, awesome. Because that's what takes place. That's a gift of salvation, not just forgiveness, but a new birth. Something is born inside. The Apostle Paul described it like this to his congregation. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, read it with me. But you receive the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, everybody. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17, here's another way he described it. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. So that's what takes place. There's a new birth that takes place on the inside, a regeneration. And with this new birth comes a supernatural awareness and awakening to God. All of a sudden from inside, we cry out, Abba, Father. It's almost as that Abba, Father is a compass that points due north or true north. Can you say amen? It's when we get saved, that regeneration takes place on the inside. And then all of a sudden, there's this awareness of God. There's this desire to be close to Him. There's this desire that comes from within that you never really had before that wants to know Him more. That takes place. Not only that, then there's something else. There is a hunger and thirst to do right, to live right. That's born within you because you know what? It wasn't there before. Can you say amen? That's why you were doing the stuff you were doing. But the minute that we come to Christ, there is a regeneration, a rebirth, and it begins to have a hunger for God, to get closer to God. With this new birth comes a spiritual hunger and thirst for living right. With this new birth comes a supernatural softening of our hearts. Kind of like we become sensitive and compassionate. That was in us. Some of us were hard and brittle and you know, so insensitive and we didn't. But all of a sudden, when we get saved, when Christ changes our heart and we're regenerated, all of a sudden we find ourselves being a little bit more compassionate. Our heart softens up a little bit. Look at your neighbor and say, softy. It's kind of like the Grinch. You remember the Grinch? There you are. And I know even the people next to you, they can't believe it. You know, they're saying like, yeah, this person is used to be so hard, so brittle. And all of a sudden, They came to know Christ and they've started softening up a little bit. It's so awesome. Now, our salvation includes forgiveness, which is a new start. It includes regeneration, which is a new nature. But our salvation also includes, everybody say the word, righteousness. And that's a new position. Interesting. Everybody say the word again. What? Righteousness is a new position. We get that. So along with salvation comes the forgiveness of sin, comes this rebirth, this regeneration. And then along with our salvation, we get righteousness, which is a new position. Let's read the verse, Romans chapter 4, verse 23. Read it with me. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So just like Abraham believed and it was counted to him for righteousness positionally, it is also true of us. And we're not talking about practical righteousness. Abraham wasn't righteous because of all of the great things he did. He was righteous simply because he believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness. And the same is true with us. When we get saved, you're not righteous, made righteous because of all the good things you've done. Because truth be known, you didn't do any good things. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about me right now. Just look at him and say that. But listen, when we come to Christ, it's not practical righteousness that we get, but positional righteousness. Would you like an illustration of what that means? Are you ready to go home then? Here we go. In 1994, Major League Baseball players went on strike. The season was canceled. And for the first time in almost 100 years, there was no World Series. 1994, I remember it. When the 1995 official season was about to begin, the players and the owners hadn't reached an agreement for the strike. So the owners decided to use replacement players. Say it out loud, what? Replacement players. But they didn't pull the replacement players up from the minor leagues because the minor leagues were on strike also. Here's what they did. The owners opened up their teams to anyone who would cross the picket line. Little league coaches, carpenters, executives, city league softballers, they crossed the line, man. And they were given a Major League Baseball uniform. Kansas City Royals, Los Angeles Dodgers, the New York Yankees. Woo! Whatever your team is, you'd be thrilled, right? A bunch of guys who didn't earn or deserve the honor of a Major League Baseball uniform were given one. They hadn't paid their dues. They hadn't worked or earned or deserved a position on the roster. They didn't have to prove themselves or reveal their potential. They just walked on. That was it. I mean, missed grounders, drop flies, strikeout kings, didn't matter. They were welcomed onto the team, assigned a locker, and issued a uniform. They wore the official Major League Baseball emblem. They were legit. Everybody say it out loud. They were what? They were legit, man. Well, guys, that's what happened to us when we believed in Jesus' call of salvation and showed up. The minute that we raised our hand in church or we walked down a platform to a platform where an evangelist made a salvation call, right there where we knelt in front of the TV, to pray that prayer, whatever your experience was, when you took that act of faith, raising your hands, walking down, kneeling down, and you prayed that prayer, at that moment, Jesus welcomed us on his team and handed us his uniform of righteous perfection. That is really awesome. Checkered past, shaky present, failures, inconsistencies, weaknesses, no matter. You now wear the robe of the King. You are perfect positionally. That is so awesome. Here's the verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read them. For God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the... Wow. Ephesians chapter 2. For we are God's... He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So he took our sin and gave us his righteousness. And in God's mind, what God was doing was making us his workmanship, his masterpiece. Isn't that awesome, guys? God dressed us up in Jesus' duds, in Jesus' colors. We are his masterpiece. Now God sees us the same way he saw Jesus. Remember when he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am, everybody, well pleased. That's how God sees you now, that you're dressed up in Jesus' duds. I like it. Everyone else might call you or call me a loser. They might call us a loser, a failure, a klutz. But because of Jesus, the Father calls us perfect. I love it. I love this. No longer sinner, but saint. Say that out loud. No longer sinner, but saint. In fact, that's his team. They're called, everybody say it out loud, the saints. It means holy ones. He put a uniform on us, dressed us up in Jesus' duds. It doesn't matter how many flies we miss and how many grounders pass us by and how lousy we bat. He calls us perfect. We're on his team. He calls us saints. Paul told us, in fact, God called us to be saints. Which brings us to another important fact about salvation. During the replacement players preseason game, that year, all those replacement players got out there and started the preseason game. And when they did, they stood proudly during the national anthem. Chests out and smiles as big as the sun. You can only imagine. As we cling to the simple truth.
As a follower of Jesus, your life has been transformed. You're no longer guilty in God's eyes of the sins you've committed in the past. He's paid the price for them and covered you in grace. Sins you'll commit in the future can be wiped clean as well, the moment you confess them to Jesus with a repentant heart. However, this doesn't mean that you have free rein to do whatever you like. Jesus calls you to a higher standard of living. Just as the Jewish people lived differently from the world around them, you too need to live apart from what the world says is acceptable. There's a fine line to walk. As the people of Galatia found out, you can easily go too far with religious rituals and legalism and miss the heart of the gospel. The Apostle Paul's solution to finding the balance is the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit will focus your attention on the right things, the things of Jesus. We're so glad you tuned in today for Pastor Dion's message on the simple truth. Do you live in the Española area? If so, we'd like to invite you to come join us in person for one of our weekly gatherings. Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel is a friendly environment where you can find ordinary people just like you who are seeking to know more about Jesus. Come by Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. or Wednesday at 7 p.m. You can find out more information at tmcalvary.com. With that, our time with you has come to a close today. We hope you'll join us again to continue studying in the book of Galatians right here on The Simple Truth. You're the one that we proclaim. We'll be fools for you.
you work in us. May your power show in the deeds we sow. Let us join our hands and together we stand.
Together.